My. You know, I was blessed by your honoring the military service and servicemen. Thank you for what you do. Both of my sons grew up in Royal Rangers. I mean, they grew up in Royal Rangers. Both of them received national awards. My oldest son was a State Ranger of the Year. And I love those men who sowed into my young men. Both are serving God. My oldest son is preaching right now. He pastors the church in Goldsboro. Used to be the First Assembly of God. And I'm so thankful for the fruit of what was planted in my boys. And the love and the care they spent. And the patience they had with them knuckleheads. My oldest son was a little bit of an entrepreneur when he was a kid. You know, they go to these campgrounds for Royal Rangers, and you got a gift shop where you can go buy a few things to take home to give to your family. Well, my oldest son went the first time and walked in the gift shop and said, I can make something better than that. He went in the woods and found materials, and I had sent the $10 with him to use at the gift shop. He came back with $38. The kids were buying the stuff from him rather than buying it out of the gift shop, so... I guess he's got some Jewish blood in him somewhere. I don't know. Oh, but I'm thankful for you guys, for the faithfulness and for the planting and for the fruit. It's a privilege to be here with you. Just know how humbling it is to have the opportunity to speak to God's precious people, especially those that are led by a man with, I have such confidence in Brother Jerry. That's a real saint of God. He loves God. You're so blessed to have him as a pastor. Don't ever forget him in your prayers, because it's lonely in the position of a senior pastor. Been there? No. My. Today, I want to read a short passage of scripture to you from Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Father, I thank you for Paul, for everything he wrote. I thank you for the encouragement he continues to be as you still use his writings in our souls. Lord, help us to be an instrument of encouragement and hope today. God, touch every heart to listen. As you touch mine to speak, Lord, let us be joined in fellowship and touched by your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm also thankful to have my wife with me today. Hey, Connie, stand up and say... Over the years, I've done a lot of traveling without her. It's so much better to have her with me. Do not be drunk with wine. All right, any of y'all ever been drunk? Anybody lying? I say the difference between an Episcopalian and a Baptist is the Episcopalian will speak to you at a liquor store. we start thinking differently once we've had some experience in our lives, you know? I think about my old granddaddy, Atlas Murray, from up in Samaria, Rocky Cross area. Back in the depths of the Great Depression, he was elected president of the local Grange organization. And they had enough money to send him to Kansas City on the train to the National Grange Convention. Well, granddaddy is never known to be shy or even modest. And he was known to speak evangelistically about situations in his life. He would expand the legend of himself as often as he could. So, being his typical self, he was sitting in the lobby of that hotel in Kansas City telling people how big a farm he had and how hard he had to work. We'd bust up 3-4 plowshares every spring breaking up ground. It's such rocky, red mud country up here in Nash County. A big old Kansas wheat farmer walks up behind him. Says, boy, so you a farmer? Yeah. How big is your place? 38 acres of red mud and white rocks. He said, you a farmer, little Kansas boy? I said, yeah. He said, how big is your place? He said, well, I get in my little red pickup truck about 8 o'clock in the morning. At 10 o'clock, I ain't halfway across my farm. Granddad looks up and says, oh, don't feel so bad. I used to have an old truck like that. If you've never seen a farm that big, you can't imagine driving it far across it, right? So your experience may limit your understanding of what's available and what the potential is in your life. Just because you haven't been healed yet, don't think God can't heal you or won't heal you. Just because you're still bound by something doesn't mean God can't deliver you or won't deliver you. Woo. My, my, my. You know, drunks act funny, don't they? They make movies about drunks acting stupid. They're funny to look at. They walk funny. They talk funny. They laugh at stuff that's not funny a bit. They're not in control of how they talk or how they walk. And if they get drunk enough, they fall out. I wonder why Paul would use the substitutionary illustration of don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. My, my, my. Giving thanks for all things. Being touched by the power of God, and the Holy Ghost is the power of God, amen? Amen. It'll make people act differently. Sometimes they'll just break out laughing for no apparent reason. Sometimes you just cry and can't tell anybody why. Y'all stay with me. Sometimes they'll dance whether there's any music playing or not. Jump, run. And if you get real blessed, get a good touch, you may just fall right out. Well, we act a lot like drunks, don't we? The first folks to ever receive the Holy Ghost were criticized for being drunk. Others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine, Acts says. But Peter said in the next verse, ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you this day, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose. They weren't drunk the way you think they're drunk. It's too early in the morning. But this is that. I'm glad I got that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. God just makes folks so upset and crazy. He'll pour out on Pentecostal flesh. Presbyterian flesh. Ooh. I've even seen him recently pour it out on some Muslim flesh that got delivered. Amen? On all flesh. Have you ever met anybody that didn't need the Holy Ghost? We were on Ask the Pastor together, and a man called from Florida and said, I just want to ask these pastors if they think I need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. Do you remember what I told him? I said, son, you need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. Much less anywhere else. Amen? It's hard to describe supernatural things in natural terms. Words are limited because God's understanding is not limited. In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, back in the early 70s, Brother R.W. Shambach had rented out a movie theater to have a healing campaign. And I mean the Holy Ghost took that thing over. People were hollering, crying, jumping, laughing, running, falling out, shaking under the power of God. That sounded like home to me. And a guy about half drunk stumbled in the side door. I think he was looking for somewhere else. And walked up to Brother Shambach off to the side of the altar and said, "What is this?" And he talked to him for a minute. He said, "Well, what do you do for a living?" He said, "I'm an electrician." He said, "Well, you ought to understand this. How does somebody act when they get an unexpected touch of power?" He said, "Oh, they act any kind of way. They'll jump. They'll holler. Some of them will sit and cry. Some of them take off running the other direction. I've seen people get knocked slam out from it." He said, "Well, that's what you got here. People are coming in contact with power greater than electricity. And when it touches them, they react different ways." I grew up in a church family that if you came to church and somehow or another you didn't stand up, move under the power of God, shout, jump up and down, the pastor went to see you after church. "What's wrong, bro? Have you lost your victory? You sick?" You know, nobody when I grew up in church looked like they were baptized in lemon juice and weaned on a dill pickle and sit there like a knot on a log and stare at other people shout. Praising God is not a spectator sport, it's a participant activity. You kind of love it. Glory to God. God's people need to be free. My. Some places I go, and I just wonder how long it's been around there since anybody acted funny under the power of God. I wonder how long it's been since the Holy Ghost laughter broke out there. Anybody shaking or staggering under the power of God? My. But be filled with the Spirit. We don't have this verb tense in English. I was blessed to be able to attend Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary for 3 years. I studied, I prayed, I behaved myself, which was a new thing for me at the time. I was just learning how to live again after being out in sin so long. Yeah, God help me. I was a drug addict and worked with organized crime before I came to the Lord. I was on the FBI's top 10 most wanted list. The director of the state FBI came to my house, knocked on my door one afternoon. "Mike, I just want to tell you, we're going to get you." And left. No warrant, no other officers came to let me know he's going to get me. Have they come after you like that lately? Thank the Lord. But I was not living right before I came to Jesus. And when I came to Jesus, I needed to start living right. And the longer I serve him, the more important it is to keep living right. My Lord, I want to keep nothing between me and him. In the Greek, it's an aorist tense verb. But I mentioned all that to mention that I studied Greek. I won a Greek award at the seminary for graduating class. An aorist tense verb means a continuing present tense. And said, be filled with the Spirit is an aorist tense verb. In other words, continue to be filled. Continue being filled. Routinely refill. Be filled always and ever and consistently with the Spirit. And that gets kind of intimidating when I think about it. Lester Summerall, when the Second World War was over, he stayed over in England. And he spent a part of a summer with an 83-year-old preacher by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. And he got the chance to spend time in his home. One morning early, he heard something carrying on in the next room. He stuck his head in there. There was this 83-year-old preacher dancing in the Holy Ghost, saying, "God help me, God help me, God help me." Brother Summerall says, "Brother Wigglesworth, what are you doing? What's wrong?" He said, "I'm just being filled with the Holy Ghost." He said, "You were filled with the Holy Ghost 57 years ago. He said, "I know, but I leak." If you live in this world and interact with anybody that doesn't know God, you're leaking. And it's incumbent upon us to get refilled every chance we get. Oh, God, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost up in here. My Lord, yes. We are in a desperate need of a daily touch from the anointing of God in our lives. Because there's coming a time soon when the whole earth shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The promise of God in the book of Habakkuk. And I don't want to feel uncomfortable when the glory of God fills this earth. I want to feel at home when I want to get used to His glory. I want to get accustomed to the power of God in my life. My Lord Jesus. Gloria kahanadamosai. So somebody who's continually filled with the Holy Ghost, how do they act? What are they like? You ever worked beside anybody who was really full of the Holy Ghost? You ever stood behind line at the grocery store with somebody who was really full of the Holy Ghost? Woo! Maybe the person behind you can't say the same thing. We never can tell. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. People that are full of the Holy Ghost are thankful. They praise God. They're thankful for what God. You know, you cannot complain and grumble and be thankful at the same time. One of them will be insincere. You won't really mean one of them. You can't praise God and complain at the same time. Oh, it's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, neither murmur, and that Greek word means to complain and grumble, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. You know, I have seen, I'm about old as Brother Jerry. Cut off an arm and count the rings, you'll find out exactly how old I am, right? But I have seen literally dozens of people over my lifetime. And Connie will testify to this, but I'll tell her about it before it happened, who grumbled themselves out of a good job. Who complained themselves out of a relationship. Grumbled and criticized themselves out of a good church. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching so good. You might discourage me. You can't be thankful for what God has put in your life and grumble about it at the same time. The more often you talk about, focus on, and bring up what's wrong in your life, the more what's wrong in your life will grow. Because you're planting seed with the words of your mouth. I told kind of one of her good friends, I said, she's going to complain herself right out of this job. It took almost 2 years, but she did it, didn't she? My, 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 my. People leave a good church, and when they get through, can't even tell you why. When you confess the problem grows. When you confess the answer manifests. Because you are hung by the words of your mouth. Hung by the tongue. You live and die by what you say, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where your heart is manifested by your conversation. I love the presence and the power of God. I love God's people. They're the best people walking the face of this earth, are God's people filled with the Holy Ghost and living for God. There's no better company to want to be in. No other attraction is anything like it. And the fact that you will let me come in here and be with you just blesses my heart. You know, God loves me better than He does anybody in the world. Anybody here got grandchildren? Have they ever drawn you a picture that you put on your refrigerator? My drawings are on God's refrigerator. Not because the drawings are so good or I'm living so perfect. Not because what I do is so pleasing to him, but because he loves me. And orange puppies with green eyes is okay if my grandchild does it, because I love that child. So you need to put some drawings on God's refrigerator in your heart this morning. Let him know that you know he loves you. He loves you. He knows so much about you. He knows everything you've ever thought wrong or done wrong. And he loves you more than any person on this earth possibly could anyway. Oh, he's an encourager. So God's people full of the Holy Ghost are humble and they're thankful. Now, being humble and not proud or arrogant is an important part of being filled with the Spirit. Pride and anger are twin brothers. They always are found together. You watch somebody with a quick temper and you'll learn if you hang around long, they're just as proud as they can be. Sometimes arrogant, condescending. It's hard for those people to submit to the power of God and serve us too. You know, most people don't shout because they're too proud. Ashamed of God. Ashamed of God will make them look bad in front of people. Woo, come on, don't. People don't shout in church because they're too proud. The power of God would move God's people if God's people would not be ashamed of a move of God. There's no way around it. That's just biblical sense. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, then he will exalt you in due time. It's about time for some folks to get exalted a little bit. My. At the Kinley Camp meeting, I think it was 1976, there, Brother T.L. Lowry was preaching that night. He was pastor in church at the time. And Brother Ira Stanfield was there to do the special music. Well, I was invited to help with the music with him. And I was running late to get off work. I was working construction. And y'all remember those earth shoes that had no heel? You had to go down the back. And about the time they had platform shoes at the same time. I got in a hurry to leave after work, getting dressed, and wore my flip-flops out the door. And I grabbed a pair of brown shoes. Well, when I got to Kinley, I had one earth shoe and one platform shoe. I kind of walked like I needed prayer. I saw Brother Franklin Hunt one night lay hands on a girl, and her leg grew out 2 inches. And she could walk straight for the first time in her adult life. I got in line behind her. I said, Brother Franklin, pray for both of mine. He got laughing so hard he couldn't do anything for a while. But Brother Ira Stanfield looked down at me and said, Brother, you really wanted to come, didn't you? But I'll never forget that night. He told a story about how he wrote his song, Mansion Over the Hilltop. He was hunting in the hills of West Virginia and came through the woods up a creek, and there was this poorly dressed little girl playing in front of a cabin that was about to fall down. And he spoke to her and said, you live in this shack? She said, yeah, but my daddy's building us a mansion just over the hilltop. And he walked over that hilltop, and it, sure enough, it was a mansion her daddy was building her. And he never forgot that. And he started singing, don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. Woo! I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I've got a mansion, a robe and a crown. I love it. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we will never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander. But walk on streets that are purest gold. That's our due time, but we're going to be exalted. Economable. You know, it's more real than this world is. Heaven is more real than this clothes you have on your back. It's more tangible in the Holy Ghost to know that heaven is real. Because all this stuff's going to pass away. I want to go. My. But that reminded me of where I'm headed. Makes me a little more patient, a little more humble, a little more thankful for every step along the way. Oh, God. God is so good. God is so good. Now, when this thing first started out, what happened to people when they got the Holy Ghost baptism? They began to act drunk, but they all spoke in tongues, right? I've had people argue me down. People with the Holy Ghost, to speaking in tongues wasn't the initial manifestation. I'm reminded of a testimony I heard from a teacher at the deaf school in Wilson, North Carolina. There was a group of students that came to a revival meeting in 1938, I think it was. And the preacher was preaching through a sign language because people were deaf and couldn't talk. And he got the message through by sign about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Several of these young people came down there. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spoke in tongues. But when church was over, they still couldn't talk. Because they weren't the ones talking. The Holy Ghost was speaking to them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When the first Gentiles were brought into the kingdom of God, Peter went to the house, and while he yet spoke, he was about to tell them how to become Jew and be baptized in water and be circumcised and get the condition to be right with God. And while he was trying his best to tell them, they all broke out speaking in tongues and got the Holy Ghost. I love it when God gets ahead of your plan. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because no Gentile had ever received the Holy Ghost. Everybody else had to submit to John's baptism, because that's what God designed for the Jews to do, and become a Jew. My Lord, God messed up Peter's theology, didn't he? They were astonished, Peter, because on the Gentiles were also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. G-A-R in Greek, gar, for, means a cause and effect. The wise men showed up at Herod's temple, Herod's palace, and said, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star." We know he's been born because the star shone, and that's a sure sign. For we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how the people with Peter knew they had the Holy Ghost. So that's Jews and Gentiles, both covered, aren't they? We should continually pray and seek God. Keep praising Him. People that stay full of the Holy Ghost are precious. They speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some of the best church I've ever had in my life have been right at my house with me and you, sometimes with just me and God. But my Lord, I get wild when I'm praising God at home by myself. Church folks had to pray to put up with me if I cut up like that everywhere I went. But I love praising God. I go out in the yard and shout at the top of my lungs. I'd be able to ride in lawnmower, throw both hands up and see God. Glory. Everywhere you go, sing in the Spirit. If you don't have a song in your heart when you wake up in the morning, you have leaked. Get filled up again. My Lord. In our class this semester, we were talking to somebody there. And she used to work at the hospital when I was working at Nash General. It's where Connie still works as the infection control nurse. Y'all pray for her. This COVID mess has really caused her a lot of grief and work. But she said she remembered me when I worked at the hospital, because every time she got on the elevator with me or walked past me in the hallway, I was either speaking in some kind of language or singing. And I can't deny it. I've been doing it for so many years now, I can't hardly help it. I was in the operating room when I used to work in the operating room at Nash General. And I was scrubbing his case, and the surgeon, you know, we're wrist deep in people's intestines and working. And what do you keep bumbling that noise for? I said, I'm happy. And then she got to where she was ragging on me. She said, well, Mike, if I come to that church you go to, do I have to bring my own snakes? I never cracked a smile, never flinched. I said, no, we'll provide them for visitors the first couple of times. But once you become a member, we expect you to bring your own. She just huffed and puffed and shut up. But the anesthesiologist that hit a bed showed up at church the next Sunday and came for 6 months. One night in the emergency room, one of the surgeons came through and talked about, just made fun of people speaking in tongues like they were all mentally ill. As a real respected surgeon who taught at Bowman Gray School of Medicine for years, and I stood right in front of him, wouldn't let him leave. I said, you don't have any idea what you're talking about. I respect your knowledge of medicine and of so many other things we've talked about since I've been working with you, but you've crossed the line and you're talking ignorantly about something you know nothing. I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost speaks through me, and the devil doesn't understand a word I'm saying, but the heaven receives. Boldness came on me. And you know what? Within a week, the three nurses at the nursing station who heard me confront him had all found an altar and given their lives to Jesus. Don't leak. Stay full. Paul encouraged us to get a touch every day. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. You can't say, I just got the Holy Ghost in 1975. When's the last time you got full? Glory to God. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration. That's the new birth. And renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's day by day. We got to stay with this thing, don't we? I'm ready for a full cup today. I'm ready to receive a fresh touch of desire for the things of God and for his presence. Oh, 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There are times when I need to go back in my mind to that home prayer meeting in July 6, 1975, when I was hopelessly addicted to heroin and cocaine and was running from a drug dealer from Harlem, New York, and I hid out for the weekend trying not to be killed. Ended up at a home prayer meeting with a bunch of white-haired saints. This one little old lady, she'd been on to see the Lord many years ago. She said, that was just the sweetest looking little hippie I ever saw in my life. And 30 minutes into this home prayer meeting, the burden that my mama and my daddy had carried for me all those years was put right where it belonged, right here. And it broke my heart. I still, to this day, remember when that first wave of forgiveness hit my soul. When those tears soaked the front of that old shirt and I got up off of that floor. Delivered. Kicked a 3.5-year heroin habit in 30 minutes on my knees. Never went through withdrawal. Never had a flashback. Got healed in my body. You could see my liver through my stomach. Went and had a physical to enter seminary. 3 weeks later, not one physical trace of any of that ever happened. God delivered me and healed me. Told me to go on about my business. My. Now I love to go back. Oh, take me back, Lord. Take me back. Carry me back to that place where I just needed you and had nothing to offer but my mess. And you picked me up and started me anew. And today, I want to go back right there tonight. Today, I want to be right back at that place where I have no need except for God. I just need His presence. I need His peace. I need His deliverance. I need the freedom that only the Holy Ghost brings in your life. Glory to God. Let me talk to you for a minute. Some people may think it's too late for you. Mm-mm. Your chance is gone. Your time is past. You may have made the same bad choices too many times for too many years to ever be free. Never too late for God. If your family gave up on you, that's okay. It's never too late for God. My. I'm not sure you're ever going to be really right with God again. Yes, you can, because God can. Didn't it look too late for Sarah and Abraham to have a child? But God. A promise and a fulfillment of a word. It looked a little too late for the Israelites to ever get free when they were trapped on that peninsula with a mile deep ocean in front of them and the Egyptians behind them. But see, God didn't want to execute an escape. He wanted to destroy the enemy. They weren't trapped. The enemy was. It's never too late for God, is it? It looked a little too late for Lazarus, wasn't it? Well, see, what people didn't understand was God didn't want a healing. He wanted a resurrection. And what God wants in your life may have been a long time coming, but it's worth the wait. And now is the time. Now is the time. Oh, glory. My. It looked too late for Jesus when he was behind that rock, didn't it? John Mark messed up. He started out in ministry, messed up, and got thrown out. He left Paul on his first missionary journey, and Paul wouldn't have him back. I don't care who has thrown you away. God's not through with you. I don't care what you haven't been able to do, what nobody has received you doing, or what it is that God put in you that He wants to use. But today is the day. Paul, before he died, wrote a letter to Timothy specifically asking him to bring John Mark to him because he is so valuable for ministry. The same one that threw him away. But God anointed John Mark to write the Gospel of Mark, which was the first gospel message organized and put and circulated, and the rest of them all copied him. I don't care who's thrown you out. I don't care how disappointed you've been in yourself. I want you to know that this morning is a fresh touch coming. This morning is a brand new start. You've never lived this day before. And you may never live another one like it again. But it's going to get better, and it's going to get better, and it's going to get better. Glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Come on. Glory to God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Jerry, I just want to challenge anybody that feels like I do. I want another touch. I want a fresh touch. I want a new start. I want to get rid of old habits of disobedience, no matter how small they appear to others. If it pricks my heart, I want to get through with them. I want to move on and get closer to God. And if you feel like I do, Brother Jerry, come up here and pray with me. Come on. Come on. If you need a touch, use us as a point of contact. That the moment you touch us, God's going to touch you. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray.
Yes, everybody that needs a touch from God wants you to come on up. Whatever your need is. Some of you have lost your mate. Some of you, your hearts are broken. But he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's my testimony. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus, Lord, your word to us was restoration. Refill him, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Lord, he's wide open for you. Here's a man that came here, wanted the Holy Ghost, said, I want that Holy Ghost you got. And he's filled. Woo! God has brought him from the jaws of death. Great testimony. And the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm going to get my anointing oil.
He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. Amen.
You're never too old to be here.
Holy, holy, I will bless his name again.
Give him a clear vision.
Oh, listen closely, hear him call me out your.
And you know what? God wants to use you just as bad. Father, it's never too late for God. Work it out, Lord. Work it out, Lord. See, God, anoint her to do what you called her to be. God, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for anointing her. And it's never too late to start to work in you.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Receive it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All my pain, sickness, and disease.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
hallelujah. Restore the vision, Lord. Restore the vision in her. Restore her vision. God, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord.
He is here. He is standing closely.
As the devil continues to attack my wife, I do not.
This is the holy prayer, Lord. This is the righteous thing to ask. This is in your perfect will. God, strengthen her heart. Oh, girl, the loins of her mind. Oh, yes. You watch God work.